Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Today we are continuing our look at all the businesses and companies in the Fallout games, and this week we have some interesting ones. Did you know that there are a number of real-world companies that actually show up in Fallout games? And, well, you may not know a whole lot about them or even know that they existed because they may not be in the games that you've actually played, but they're worth mentioning. Also, as we get into the B's, we've finished all the A's, we're getting into the B's, we're going to come across a number of companies that are very, very sparsely mentioned. They just kind of show up on some signs and some other places, but also a company with a very interesting story and a whole log of details about what goes on, well, when you buy a Mr. Handy and things don't go right. So stay tuned for that. But welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. Let's get into it. So kicking off the B's alphabetically, we have B and K Cleaners. That's B ampersand K Cleaners. That's why it starts out at the beginning of the alphabet, because there's nothing after the B other than an ampersand. What a wonderful, strange word. You don't say that very often, do you? Or at least I don't. So B&K Cleaners shows up in Fallout New Vegas. It's one of those locations that just kind of shows up on a few different signs. In fact, there's three different locations, and you might recognize it because it has kind of this, a rhombus shape? It's kind of like an oblong rectangle with a wider top and a skinnier bottom, and then across that is another bar that says Cleaners, and then in the main section it says B and K, in like this bold, kind of a script-like font. These locations are in three different places in New Vegas, but none of them are accessible. You have one around the corner on the main street of Freeside near the Atomic Wrangler Casino, and two others in Westside, but again, you can't go into them. They are just signs on the sides of buildings. And by the way, it's kind of hard to miss the signs if you're paying attention to the buildings around you, because some of the signs are really large. Like, they span an entire floor of the building. And the buildings that they're attached to are actually fairly large, including a three-story building. And you have to wonder, what kind of cleaning service needs a three-story building? Or was that just the predominant service on the bottom floor and the top was used for office space or apartments or something like that? But we can't really know because we can't go in the buildings. So there you go, B&K Cleaners. Let's move on to the next one. All right, here's another little-known company called Bankcom, B-A-N-C-K-O-M. This shows up only in the Point Lookout DLC for Fallout 3. This is a company who does one thing, or did one thing that we know about. They made voice ID locks used in the banks, I guess, or at least in one bank, the People's Bank of Point Lookout. Voice ID locks. That's the one thing they're known for. And it's so funny that on that lock, you have this logo for Bankcom, which doesn't show up anywhere else. They could have, in designing the game, used another company and said, oh, well, they also do voice ID locks. You could see a company like Robco doing something like this on the side as part of their R&D, or who knows, incorporating voice unlocking of robots so the person who owns the robot would have control over the parameters of the robot. Like, that kind of stuff would make sense, right? But no, Bankcom. The other thing that strikes me odd about Bankcom is it's not Bank, B-A-N-K, BANKCOM, like bank communications. It's BANCKOM, which seems mixed up because you would think you would have communications with bank ID locks. But instead, the words are a little bit jumbled up. So there you go, BANKCOM.
Congratulations on being prepared for the future.
Do you remember playing Fallout New Vegas and noticing the old trains sitting around the map? Some of them look like the kinds of trains that we would still see today in service. And on those trains, there are logos for the different train companies. Well, there's one called Barstow Express. This only shows up in New Vegas. And you might remember the logo, a big red circle that says Barstow at the top and then Strong at the bottom, and across the middle, a yellow band that says Express. You can find the broken down old engines of these trains in Boulder City. They seemingly transported cargo and individuals. And Barstow, you might be wondering about that word, is, well, it's the same word as Barstow, California, the town. So was this a company that started in California and some of the trains ended up in the New Vegas area? That would make sense. So there you go. Barstow Express. Strong? All right, so I teased it at the beginning. Real world companies that show up in the Fallout games. And, well, this one shows up in the Brotherhood of Steel, which, as far as most people are considered, including Bethesda, is not one of the canon games of Fallout. But it's worth bringing up because it is kind of hilarious. Do you remember Balls Guarana? B-A-W-L-S. You know, the drink that was popular around the time that Fallout Brotherhood of Steel came out back in the early to mid 2000s. Well, it actually started in 1997 by Hobie Bupert. Bupert? I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly. And Bupert chose Texas as the place to start the company. And Texas is in Fallout Brotherhood of Steel. And it seems like one of those things at the time where there was some sort of coordination between real world companies and video games in order to get their product in the games. And so, you know, they just kind of justified that this would make sense. From an in-world perspective, inside the games, they were a competitor with Nuka-Cola. And it turns out, according to this game, that they actually survived in Texas and became the most popular drink, kind of edging out Nuka-Cola in the competition. So next time you see a Balls Guarana, is that even around anymore? Does anybody actually drink those? Think about how they beat out Nuka-Cola in Texas in a non-canon Fallout game. I'm sure your brain will appreciate that little tidbit of information that'll just pop up from, you know, time to time now. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Truth is, the game was rigged from the start.
So here's an interesting one. This one only shows up in Fallout 1, 2, and Tactics. Although, the thing they make still shows up in other games, but not the mention of the company who originally made them. Weird, right? So Beatco, what do you think Beatco originally made? Well, something that gives a beating. It doesn't require a beat. It's not like they make drum sets or something like that. Power Fists. Power Fists were originally designed and created by Beatco, and they were used by demolition teams. And then there were the military grade big friggers powered by energy cells, and then a variety of different variants. Anybody who's done a punching build in Fallout will appreciate the Power Fist. I know it's a lot of fun to use. And in the more recent games, the animation, the way the fist punches out, is always so satisfying. And although the name Beatco doesn't show up in New Vegas or Fallout 4 or 76, any of these other games, there are other variations of this weapon. In 76, you can give it all sorts of upgrades. And then in New Vegas, there was a special version created by the Gunrunners called the Power Fist GRA. All sorts of fun stuff. This is a really fun weapon. If you haven't used one in the games, I recommend doing a melee build. Melee builds are actually way more viable and a lot of fun to play with in the games. If you've never tried a melee build, they actually can work really well. You just might want to bring along a sidearm just in case you need to shoot something at a distance, but overall it works. And the question remains, why did Beatco disappear? What happened to the name Beatco? And my guess is that it just happened to be something that was overlooked and just didn't really end up in any of the later games, or at least by name. But how cool would it be to have a skin in something like 76 for your Power Fist that puts the Beatco logo back on the Power Fist? I think that would be great. I think we need to try to incorporate some of these other names of businesses that show up in these older games and bring them to the newer games. And to Fallout 76's credit, that has happened a number of times. It has already come up a few times in the previous episodes. So maybe we make this one happen again. What do you say, devs? So here we go, another real-world company that shows up in Fallout games, and this time not just the Brotherhood of Steel, although they do show up in the Brotherhood of Steel, they also show up in Fallout Tactics, so it's a little bit more legit in that sense. But think about this, how many of the firearms and weapons in Fallout actually have the same name as are given in the real world? Well, not a lot. But Beretta does show up. Beretta, the firearms manufacturer from Italy, shows up in Tactics and Brotherhood of Steel. Now, I'm not much of a aficionado when it comes to guns and ammo, and I'm sure if you've listened to previous episodes where we've talked about that stuff, you will recognize this. But I do know that there is a 9mm M9FS Beretta and a Beretta 470 Silverhawk. So if you've ever come across those in those games, then yes, that does seem to be exactly the same name as the real world company. And you have to wonder, again, was this something that was a cross promotion? I doubt it when it comes to something like firearms, that they're actually getting money from firearms companies in order to use their names in the games. Now, maybe they got permission to use the names, but more likely, Fallout Tactics and Brotherhood of Steel are not two of the most well-known games. They're not two of the bigger budget games in the series, so I have to wonder if they just kind of used the name and let it slide under the radar. Not really sure about that, but it would explain why we don't get Beretta 9mm guns in later games.
Thank you. Report any suspected communists to the proper authorities immediately.
All right, so let's head back to Fallout 76, where we have Berkeley Springs Spa. This is a pre-war business that absolutely operated in Berkeley Springs in West Virginia. There is one location, but it has an interesting story. This is one of those locations where you can go and find terminals that detail some of the events that happened right before the bombs dropped. Well, maybe not right before, but a few years before, starting in 2075. So let's take a look at Berkeley Springs. Did I say Strings? We're going to leave that in there. Springs. And go through all the details in the terminals, because this is interesting. So the very, very first terminal seems pretty common for this kind of business. Personal Journal 2475. So this is a few years before the bombs drop. In the past, I'd offer discounts in slower months like January and February, but this year my costs to run the spa went up and I had to get rid of the promotion. You've never heard so much complaining in your life. Most of my customers, who by the way are quite wealthy by anyone's standards, said they were appalled that I'd try to take advantage of them. They're driving fancy cars and living in mansions, and here I am just trying to stay in business. Can you believe the nerve? If I had known my clientele would be this petty, I'd never have opened the spa in the first place. The next entry, Personal Journal 2-22-75, just a few weeks later, reads like this. Just received my new handy from the delivery company. When I switched it on, it said its name was Z43126, and I should give it a name. So this is interesting, first off the bat, that Mr. Handys come with default names that seem more like serial codes or something like that. It goes on. I settled on Beckham, the name of a dog I had owned when I was a teenager. The salesman swore it would do the work of two or three of my regular employees. I hope to God he's right, or else I am out a lot of cash. I probably should have spent the money adding a sauna to my spa, but I could really use the extra pair of hands right now. And then the next journal, personal journal 8675. So this is a few months later. One of my customers walked out of the spa without paying today. They said that they were unhappy with the level of service they were receiving after Beckham used a loofah instead of the requested pumice scrub. Everything else with their spa visit went perfectly, but one tiny mistake and they blew their top. It really irks me that these upper crust rich blowhards think the world is supposed to be handed to them on a silver platter. Some of us have to work for a living. Personal journal, 11-18-75, so another 3 months later. With honey treatments at spas becoming popular, I decided to add them to my menu. I set up Beckham to collect honey from a few apiaries nearby, but they were charging too much money. Then I tried ordering the stuff by the jar, but it was still too expensive. At the end of the day, I ended up sending Beckham out to look for natural hives in the area. I get all the honey I need, and he doesn't get stung. This is working out perfectly. So things seem to be going better with Beckham. So this fun little story wraps up in Personal Journal 51076. Beckham knocked over a tray of lotions today. I don't understand how a robot can be so clumsy. Then I called the company. They gave me some ideas on how to calibrate his Hoover jet, but more importantly, how to modify some of his sensors. Apparently, I can change how Beckham feels about anything. If it's cold, if it's dark, the color of the sky, anything. Since Beckham was being so uncooperative, I decided to test that theory and implant a fear of bees. Should be fun to watch that robot squirm the next time he collects honey. Sometimes it's the little things in life that entertain you the most. So, poor Beckham. Also, it seems kind of funny that they are complaining about the pettiness of their customers, and then they complain about these funny little problems with the robot, and then decide to punish the robot for the fact that it's a little bit clumsy and sometimes makes mistakes. Kind of sus there, right? Like, a little bit odd. But also, there's some really interesting insight in these terminal entries into the way that at least the Mr. Handys work, if not any of the other robots. This idea that you can calibrate them and then you can give them emotional responses. Think about dealing with Mr. Handys in our experience of the games. Codsworth is actually very emotional. Notice the way that he responds at the very intro of the game. He seems to be very on top of things and aware of the emotional situation in the room with the parents and the child and all of that. And then when you come across him years and years later and he realizes that you're still alive and he has been programmed to keep not only taking care of the property in some odd sort of way, but also that he is lamenting the fact that you have been gone and that terrible things have happened to the family. All of that can be calibrated. All of it can be programmed and is actually really interesting to think about. Now, the assumption there is that those emotions are simulated, but we also have synths, and the question of how much of the synths actually function like real humans and at what point does that come about? Is it when they start to have what seemed like real actual human organs and things like that? Or was this something that arose out of the AI of these machines earlier on? We've talked about this on previous episodes, but it's worth wondering, does that Mr. Handy actually suffer now from the fear of bees? And what would be even funnier is if the devs put in a wandering Mr. Handy into the world who happens to be programmed to have to keep going back and trying to get honey from bees and then getting scared and running away from them. And you could just kind of run into this character. That would be hilarious. So again, devs, get on that. Or not. I mean, who am I? All right, let's move on.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Oh, yes. Another Fallout 76 location. This one is named Bernardo's. Bernardo's is a location you can find in Point Pleasant. It's real close to the Mothman Museum. And there's not much that we know about this. This is a sign in the front of a building. But we do get an address, or at least it seems like an address. 1969 at the very top of the building. Now, the way it's displayed, it makes it look like it's an address, but it very well could be a date. Maybe Bernardo's dates back to 1969 when the company was established. But there really isn't a whole else to go on because we can't go in the building. We can't interact with anything with the Bernardo's logo on it. So we don't really know. It has a very kind of standard serif font in green. The front of the building has kind of this green gradient and white on it. So we get a little bit of color branding, but that's about it. We do know, however, that there is a level designer whose name is Craig Bernardo. And maybe this is a reference to them. But as of right now, we don't know. One of the types of businesses that is a wonderful callback to the culture of the 50s and 60s are barbershops. And there are barbershops in Fallout, including Besnick's Barbershop in Fallout 3. Now, this, of course, is in the Capital Wasteland. But very specifically, there is one location in the, and I'm going to make this sound weird, L'Enfant, which is French for the child, the L'Enfant District. And I don't know if it's supposed to be pronounced with a French accent or if it's Americanized like L'Enfant. But L'Enfant sounds better than L'Enfant, so we're going to go with that. Now, there's another French-sounding name, Madame Gilles, which is nearby, and it's part of that district, right? It seems like a French district, and there's a reason for that. Let's go way back in time in our own world to 1791. There is something called the L'Enfant Plan for the city of Washington, D.C. It is an urban plan by Major Pierre or Peter Charles L'Enfant for George Washington, the first president of the United States, George Washington, not like George Washington Carver. That's a different George Washington. It is regarded as a landmark in urban design and has inspired plans for other world capitals such as Brasilia, New Delhi, and Canberra. In the United States, plans for Detroit, Indianapolis, and Sacramento took inspiration from the plan in Washington, D.C. So this district is a real reference to the range of the city that was as part of that plan originally in the 1700s. And so it makes sense that Fallout 3 is referencing something that existed in the real world and is now part of the scope of the design of the area in the game. So fun little side note, right? But as for Besnick's Barbershop, we can't go in it. There is a trap out front. There's one of those trap pipes that's triggered by like a tripwire. But other than that, it's barricaded. There's a bunch of wood bars across the front. Besnick's Barbershop is done in a traditional red, white, and blue. But also, not just because of the American flag, but when you think of barbershops, think about the spiral tube or whatever that's called, the cylinder, the spiral cylinder often has red and white or also maybe red, white, and blue lines that go up it. And that is there as well in front of the barbershop that was actually designed and fit into the style of this building. So it seems like it used to be a real barbershop, but is no longer functional and you can't even go into it like so many other buildings in the games. Can you imagine designing the games in a way where you could go into every single building? The amount of extra work that would take, it would be cool, but I would imagine it would be a lot of, well, unnecessary work.
Oh, Pumpkin, you made Grandma so happy.
All right, so let's head back to Appalachia. Big Fred's Barbecue Shack. Now, there is a review of this by Glenn Ramos in the game. Glenn was one of the survivors of the Great War and served as a chef aboard elite yachts and luxury liners and those sorts of things. And so you get this review of this barbecue shack by somebody who was actually a culinary expert. Get this. Listen to this. Big Fred's Barbecue Shack was quite the misnomer. Despite the prefix, Big Red wasn't that big. As I remember, the man stood 5'10" and looked to weigh 180 pounds. Lovely gentleman. And contrary to the humble images the word shack brings forth, Big Fred's made the best rack of ribs I've ever tasted. In these dark days, creative culinaries are exploring new methods with their meat source that's readily available. I must say, their rendition of ribs is quite good, but it doesn't compare to Big Fred's. 5 stars. So if you know where Top of the World is, then you head southeast and you'll end up at a location in the Savage Divide, which is where Big Fred's Barbecue Shack is. It's also northeast of the Middle Mountain Cabin. So if you're familiar with those areas, you want to go check this out, you can do so. Now, this isn't just one of those locations that's just like a sign on a building. There's actually other stuff here. There's a cooking stove, and there's also kitchen-related junk you can pick up if you're looking for certain types of things in order to scrap and use for crafting or whatever. But this also was a location that was used for one of the quests, Key to the Past. And in fact, you encounter a scorched, and not just any scorched, the scorched version of David Thorpe. Now, you might recognize that name. We've talked about the history of Fallout 76 before, and if you don't recall that stuff, go back, listen to those episodes. David Thorpe was the leader of the Cutthroats. The Cutthroats are the raider gang who is now being led by Rose the robot. But back during the time of just after the bombs dropping and all of the events that happened in Appalachia, David Thorpe was a thorn in everybody's side. So real quick, he started as an executive at Arctos Pharma, and then when the bombs dropped and the world went to hell, he formed what essentially became a raider gang in order to maintain supplies and food for him and his community. But that quickly turned into kind of a competition with the other groups in Appalachia. This led to the event where he basically used mini nukes in order to blow up the Summersville Dam, flooding out large sections of Appalachia and leading to the death of many, many people. Now, the Cutthroats originally were situated up in the Pleasant Valley Ski Resort, but as time went on, David Thorpe ghoulified and is now located at this barbecue shack. And because this is one of the main bits of the main quest line, and you need to, well, mercy kill David is what you're supposed to do, but I feel like you could probably also use this as an opportunity to get back on the guy who caused a lot of the problems and enabled the Scorch Plague to get worse, all of that stuff. Then you can kind of do it for your own reasons if you want, if you feel like it, but either way, you have to kill him in order to get the Raider stash code and give it back to Rose as part of the main quest. And this game has been out for 5 years, and usually I try to avoid certain types of, like, quest spoilers, even though I kind of talk about in and around them for lore reasons, but we're just going to put that out there. There's a Scorch version of a very terrible individual. Don't feel bad about killing him and putting him out of his misery in order to further the main quest line. Now, there are some other things you can find at this location, including the note Burnt Ends, which was the review of this location by Glenn Ramos, and this is a post-apocalyptic culinary review according to the title. And so this is a review of this place as it was still operational after the bombs dropped, and so therefore the reference about other places getting creative with their meat choices, that's how that plays into that. There's also another note that can be found when you are doing the questline Unsolved Tracking Terror. This is Dr. Frank's journal. Entry 411. The tests have been going so well. I've spliced the glands and pieces of brain matter from a gecko into a fish to make a completely new creature. I'm going to be rich. I need to try larger animals. Entry 502. Had some problems with the mouse-cat hybrid. It kept gnawing its own leg off. Entry point 555. I had such hopes for the dog cat. It would have been the perfect pet. I could have made a fortune off of them. Entry 673. I've created a new technique for brain grafts. The animal shelter won't give me any more dogs and cats, but I was able to rescue a wounded bear. Adding a little bovine brain and glands should make it more docile. And this is where it gets really good. Entry 695. I've named my hybrid bear Fluffy. It seems to like me. I'm able to crawl into its cage and pet it. Entry 719. Fluffy has begun to exhibit fits of rage. I had to put a shock collar on him. He still likes to be scritched behind the ears, but I have to wait for the right time. Entry 723. Fluffy has escaped. His shock collar was ripped off. I've got to find him. Entry 724. The very next one. The Monongah police say there are sightings of large animals down by some lake. It sounds like Fluffy. They also said two hikers were killed in the area. I got a sneak peek at the forensics report. My poor Fluffy killed them. And that's the very last entry. And you can find it next to what appears to be Dr. Frank's body. And of course, the quest line moves on and you actually get to meet Fluffy. So if you haven't done that one yet, well, give it a try.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
I hope you're enjoying this series. We'll be back next week with our patron chat happening on Wednesday next week, which is the 26th. So there's time for you to join us. Sign up at patreon.com/falloutlorecast. And welcome to our newest patrons, Thomas O, Lucas G, and Metalifan BBC. I hope I pronounced that correctly. So glad that you decided to join us. And I have to shout out our sentry bots who get shout outs every week, Dusty Ray and Germinator. Thanks so much for your support. And to all 106 of our current paying patrons, I couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much. And thank you for being there as free patrons as well. Make sure you sign up for free in order to stay plugged in and get notifications. And sometimes there's deals that go out to people. So if you just kind of want to sign up for free and see if you get a random discount deal, those are going out. I don't control them. I just hit the button. And sometimes Patreon decides to offer people deals. So that's another way that you can get involved. And of course, you know the deal. You get ad-free episodes. You can even sign up to tiers to get stickers and t-shirts every 3 months and join us for patron chats. There's all sorts of fun stuff. So go check that out. Also, if you want to help out in other ways, you can leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read it out on a future episode. We've got some two new ones this week. This is from xxsloth_, who writes, a must hear. What can I say that hasn't been said literally hundreds of times before? I stumbled upon the Lorecast by accident, as I didn't really listen to podcasts before. On Spotify, as a suggested listen, I hit play and was immediately sucked in. Mr. Robots really does an excellent job of researching and presenting the lore, as well as posing questions that give different perspectives and ideas about many different topics of the world of Fallout. I wasn't a fan of the format change to being a co-host show at first, but by the time Lainey moved on, I was sad to hear her go. I could go on and on. Great, great, great show, XX Sloth. Thank you so much, Sloth. And yeah, you know, we keep trying out new things, and Lainey was a part of it for about a year, and then we went back to another format, and I like to mix things up. I like to, you know, always come back to the lore format, but then also throw some other things in every so often or kind of keep things fresh and try stuff out. So I appreciate you being flexible with all of that and leaving a 5-star review. Then we got this one from Flogged Dog, who writes, pet care, 5 stars. This podcast has nothing to do with pet care. I guess. Maybe I need to do more pet care episodes. I don't know what that's about. But you gave me 5 stars, so you must be happy about that. Don't know how that works, but thank you for the support anyway. And thank you, everybody, for being here. I'll be back next week with our patrons, and then we'll continue on with this topic and some others kind of sprinkled in. So until next time, stay safe out there. And if you come across a terrible, terrible human being who has been ghoulified, don't feel bad about putting them out of their misery. All right, I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.